Christian Church, Disciples of Christ, our Monday Manna Bible study, and happy rest from your Labor Day.
Is that what it is?
Well, not for me, it's not. I didn't get to rest today.
So a lot of people consider this a rest day?
Yes, Labor Day.
Okay.
It's officially the end of summer, will they say. Unofficially the end of summer, should I say.
So it should have emphasis for laboring, working, right? Mm-hmm. Doing some kind of work, service-oriented kind of thing. Picking up trash, being helpful, being considerate, helpful to others.
I thought it was just the opposite.
Okay. What does it mean?
I thought it was a day that you rest from laboring.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't know the original. Maybe that's something I ought to look up. The original meaning of Labor Day.
That door.
So, yeah, because I don't know what it means.
That each of you are having a great Labor Day and that things are going well and that you put in your community service and that you have been engaged. And you didn't spend this day just laying in the bed and watching old movies and catching up with some of the movies that you haven't seen in a while. But sometimes you call it binging, but we praise God that you were able to get some rest. Hopefully you were. Lady Kim said that didn't happen for her. But we do give God praise for this day. What does it say, Lady Kim?
It says, according to the U.S. Department of Labor, the day is an annual celebration of the social and economic achievements of American workers.
Okay.
The holiday stems from late 1800s when labor activists wanted a federal holiday to recognize workers' contributions to the country.
Okay. So what else does it say? Because we still haven't answered the question that we were trying to get at. Whether it was a time of rest or whether it was time of work or it was just a recognition of those who had already labored and honoring them.
It does not really give clear indication why we celebrate and the meaning behind it. Let's see.
All right. We don't want to spend too much time on this, but go ahead. Since you're already in that hole, go ahead and dig a little deeper. As you are joining us, we hope and pray that you have had a great day and that you are yet giving God praise. It is the fourth day of September. And I tell you, September has come and August is gone. And we thank God for his keeping power. Let us know that you're getting a clear signal and that you can hear us well and that everything is coming in. Lady Kim is not going to let this go until she actually finds something that will really justify what she said, but we're not going to worry about that. See that? See? You saw how she perked up?
Somebody just texted and said Labor Day was originally designed to honor workers as part of the American organized labor movement.
That's what
I read.
Yeah. Uh-huh. But that was not what we were questioning.
Whether it was a day to rest or a day to work, right? Is that what you're saying?
Community service, honor of those who had gone before us, laboring. But we're not going to spend any time on that. Did they let us know that they were getting a clear signal?
Yes, they got a clear signal.
Oh, okay. All right. So we're not going to deal with any of the questions I'm trying to. We're going to stay. You want to stay with that?
We're going to Bible study.
Okay, all right. I'm just trying to make sure. We praise God and we thank each of you for being on. I came on a little early and accidentally hit the record button, and so some of you tried to log on, but we were trying to get our set adjusted, and we're here tonight. And of course, as you remember, Lady Kim was not with us on last week, but she's here spry and ready to go, and she's ready to lead us through this 13th chapter. Since she left me to go through that 12th chapter all by myself, I was sweating and trying to get through it, but by the grace of God, we were able to finish the 12th chapter. We're a little bit behind, Lady Kim. We probably need to pick it up maybe next week because of the schedule. But we thank God for each of you. Let's go ahead and have prayer as we prepare for tonight's study. We'll be in 2 Chronicles, the 13th chapter, and we'll see some very interesting things begin to unfold here. But we do praise God for each of you. Let's pray. God, we're extremely grateful for this day. We thank you for this Labor Day. We thank you for honoring and recognizing those who have labored and those who have worked diligently to make everything happen and possibilities in terms of what we are yet enjoying even today. And we thank you, dear Lord, for your keeping power. We thank you for giving us rest and peace, peace of mind. And then, God, many have gone out and they decided that they were going to use this as a time to work, and others decided to use it as a time of rest. But God, we thank you that you have included us in your plan for this day. And so, God, we pray that even as we go into this study tonight, that you might allow your spirit to abide to fulfill, and fulfill to overflow in each and every one of our lives. And we ask that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our redeemer. So we love you and we honor you and we thank you for being our God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
When we were growing up, Lady Kim, this was the signal that school was about to start on the next day after Labor mm-hmm. Day. But how times have changed. And I believe Shelby County, y'all have been in, what, probably for a month now?
Yes, mm-hmm. About 4 weeks.
And so we were looking forward, when I was growing up, to that additional time. We didn't have that, of course, starting early, but it was always a signal when Labor Day came around that it was time to take it back in and get ready for a new school year. But on yesterday, as we prepare for this time together, for those of you who are just joining us, we're going to be in 2 Chronicles, the 13th chapter. There are about 18 verses there. But we just want to do a little reflection on yesterday and our worship experience. And Lady Kim, is there anything that you, your notes did not come through for you this time?
No, they didn't. And I don't know why, you know, one time it saved okay. and the next time it doesn't. Well, but
go right ahead.
But yesterday was an exciting time in the Lord as you preached from how to live through a bad day and keep on winning.
Mm-hmm.
And the scripture was from Luke, the 24th chapter, verses 13 through 21. And it was the passage of scripture where two were traveling on the road to Emmaus. And as they walked and talked together, Jesus appeared to them, but they didn't know it was Jesus. And the Bible says that their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. And he said, what kind of conversation is this? You know, they were talking about the resurrection, the crucifixion, and the events that had just happened. And they replied to him, well, you must be a stranger around here, because everybody ought to know what happened. You know, everybody was talking, you know, with such an event as the crucifixion and resurrection. And then Jesus, when he was talking to them, said that, well, they told Jesus about the things that happened, about the crucifixion and the death, and that they were hoping that he was going to redeem Israel. So you had several points on yesterday. The first one was forgive everyone who's trying to ruin your life. I think that's the first point that you had. Am I correct?
Yes, and I didn't get to my points. That's why I was hesitant in answering that. I was anticipating doing a part two, because basically what I just kind of shared was introductory information surrounding the text and how the disciples had actually experienced a bad day, but they were able to live through it, and how many times that same thing can happen to us. We can be in the midst of a bad day and a bad experience,
mm-hmm.
but the emphasis had to do with the power of the resurrection is what gives us the strength in order to win the day, even if we're struggling and straining and trying to make sense of what has happened in our lives. Sometimes we're battered, we're weary, we're wounded, and we're tired, and we have gone through some things similar to what these disciples had experienced. And so as a result of them thinking more about themselves, they did not even recognize the master when he appeared, because the Bible says their eyes were restrained. And so it is with us. We can get so caught up in what we're going through till we miss the master when he walks right alongside of us. But Jesus has promised that he would never leave us nor forsake us. He said he'd be with us always, even until the end. And so many times when we're going through those difficult moments and those bad days, he's right there with us. And he loves us too much to leave us where we are. And sometimes we have to learn the lesson that we are going through in order to move to the next level. And I used reference of how James says we need to count it all joy when we go through trials and tribulations, knowing that the trying of our faith is what worketh patience. And then let patience have a perfect work, and that we might be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So we are not exempt from bad days. That's the whole point. We are not immune from going through hardship and tribulation. But Jesus has promised that he would be with us through it all. And so the focus is to really try to come to grips with that. And the resurrection is what really pulls us through those bad experiences that we have in order for us to win the day.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. And I like the way you said that many times we take our eyes off of Jesus,
mm-hmm.
and we focus on our problems. And that's where we get in trouble. We spend more time focusing on our problems. But I heard somebody say that, you know, we need to stop telling God about our problems and start telling our problems about our God.
That's correct.
You know, we have a big God. We have a God who can solve all of our problems. All we need to do is turn to him and trust in
absolutely,
him.
Absolutely. And so the reason I abruptly cut you off, and I apologize, is that I did not really deal with those points. And I plan to do that. But if the Lord leads me a different way, I will do that. But you're welcome to go ahead and lift those points up. And if you have some comments on them, that would be helpful for me if the Lord allows me to do a part two, mm-hmm. on this. Because so many people, Lady Kim, are experiencing bad days.
Mm-hmm.
And many times they lose sight of the fact that there's a winner on the inside of them because of what they're going through.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bible reminds us that greater is he that's within us than he that's within the world. So we have to get up each morning with a mindset and a mentality. We have to have the kind of swagger, if you will, that says, Lord, I know you've allowed me to see this day. I know you have created me for this day. And I know you're going to give me an opportunity to participate in what it is you have in store for me. And so I'm grateful for an opportunity to serve. And so, God, anything that comes against me today, I know that you've got me covered, and I will continue to be persistent even when it doesn't line up,
amen.
With what I think it ought to be.
Mm-hmm.
But many times God tries to teach us something when we go through various issues in our lives, and when we fail to learn the lesson, it's almost like in school, if you know, they used to not promote people back in the day if they did not complete the requirements for that grade. I know we had a fellow at Center Street. He was almost 12 years old, and he was still hadn't gotten out of elementary school yet, because they wouldn't pass you back then, mm-hmm. you know. And so sometimes we get ourselves caught up in a situation where we have to continue to repeat an assignment, continue to repeat a situation, until we get the breakthrough, until the surrender comes in our lives so God can push us to the next level.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. And I know you didn't get to your points. And, you know, when they see me on Sunday and I'm on my phone, I'm writing notes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God speaks to me as you're delivering your message, and I'm typing my notes in the notes section.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, sometimes the note saves, and sometimes it doesn't. And so this is one of the times the notes did not save. So that's why, you know, I wasn't sure if you got with, to your points, because I usually type the points down as you go through them.
Well, you can lift those points up, because there might be some comment there, and someone might, because even if the Lord allows me to finish that, it probably will be just as brief as it was this past Sunday in terms of the sermon. But I believe that a lot of people will help from what I heard and from the comments that I received. And you know, it's amazing how God begins to move and in the lives of his people, and how obedience brings the reward, and how just like the young lady that we shared at the end of the service, many times people think I'm a little pushy, or I'm trying to put people on the spot. But that's not something that's planned, and I shared that with you. That's not something I decide that I'm going to do when I get up on Sunday morning. But as the Spirit leads, and we had a very interesting conversation, you did more so than I did Saturday in the store. And the lady, it was interesting that she had been praying and asking God for someone to come into the store that day and ask her about church and about, you tell the story. It was your testimony. I just kind of went on what you told me happened. You know.
Well, we were in the store shopping for some items, and one of the ladies, she was a sales lady in the store, but she wasn't the lady that was waiting on us. And she came over, and we were talking, and she was saying that she had just moved to town, just moved here from Kansas City, Missouri. And I said, well, have you found a church home? And she looked at me real strange, and tears welled up in her eyes. And she said, you know, I was praying to God, and I said, God, I just hope you send somebody into the store to ask me about church. You know, and I saw the sincerity in her heart. I said, well, baby, you got the right one today. I said, I want to invite you to Anointed Temple of Praise. And she was so overjoyed that I invited her to ATOP. And she said, well, I don't think I can come tomorrow because I have to work tomorrow. You know, well, she asked what time the service was, and I told her 9:45, and she said she had to work. And so the lady who was waiting on us, she, when I told her, she said, oh, I'm the manager. If she wants to go to church, she can have, you know, what time is the service? We said 9:45. She said, oh, she can come in at 12 o'clock.
And
we said that would be perfect.
Right, right.
Again, the lady was overjoyed. She said, really? For real? She had just started working there like a few days ago.
Right.
And the lady said, yes, you can come in tomorrow at 12, so you can go to church in the morning.
Look at God.
And so I gave her a business card, and service got started yesterday. I looked around. I said, uh-oh, she's not here. You know, and then as the service got started, oh my goodness, here she comes walking through the door. And she was excited and participated in service. And then at the end of the service, now this is where you come in.
Well, yeah, and you know, that's where people sometimes think I'm just doing that because, you know, it's about me, but that's God leading me. And I was using the analogy even today about how many times when we have a fish on the line, we have to be mindful of the fact that the enemy, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy.
Yes,
so
he does.
He wants to snatch our catch off the line. I'm saying something, Dr. Holmes. I'm trying to help you now. I know you're a fisherman. But the enemy will come and try to snatch that catch off the line if we don't reel it in. And so I went ahead and took the initiative and asked her, because everything was clear and it was obvious that she had been seeking the Lord, and I didn't want the enemy to snatch that soul off the line yesterday. And I just point blank asked her right before the benediction, did she want to come and be a part of Anointed Temple of Praise? And from all of the people that she talked to afterwards, she said it felt like something was pushing her out of her seat. And that had to be nothing but God's Spirit. And she came up, she gave, rededicated her life. She joined church. And that was a soul almost about to be snatched by the enemy. And she's already gone through some things making this transition. But we are praying and hoping that God will yet use her mightily at ATOP. And I believe she has some gifts and some callings that she indicated to you about being a minister and all of that. And so we just praise God that we didn't allow the enemy to snatch that catch off the line. Amen. I feel something in my spirit
Amen.
Tonight.
Amen.
And so we have to be mindful. And the point I was trying to make even yesterday is that we have to take the initiative when we're out, whether we're on our job, whether we're in the market, mm-hmm. whether we're in the store, whether we're shopping. We have to engage people where they are, because you never know what people might be going through and what they might be praying and asking God to send their way. And if you don't engage them, if you don't talk to them, if you don't communicate with them,
that's right.
then they may never get that breakthrough that they need.
Yeah.
And sometimes that breakthrough is predicated on us mm-hmm. doing what God has called for us to do.
That's right.
By being witnesses and letting our light so shine. And so that's exactly what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And you let your light shine. And I just kind of, you know, after you had on the line, Lady Kim, I just went ahead and reeled
her
on in. That's right. That's right. And so we praise God for that tonight. And so that's the word for somebody tonight. Continue to be a witness.
Amen.
Continue to speak the word. Continue to encourage people.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be bashful, because you never know what people might be going through or what they might be feeling, what they might be praying about.
Mm-hmm.
And just speak that word, and that might be the revelation that they need
mm-hmm.
in order to be confirmed in terms of what God is saying to them.
Amen. That's right. Amen. All right.
All right.
So I think we kind of...
We covered yesterday's
sermon. Yes, I think we did. Because the time is... Time
it's getting away from us.
Slipping. It wasn't that a song?
I think so.
Into the future.
All right. You went way back on that one. Who was that song by? Dr. Q on there? She could tell us who
that
was. I think that was...
Was the time keep slipping?
Ohio Players.
Oh, okay.
I don't know who that was, uh-huh. but we have praised God for this day, and thank y'all for being on tonight. I know many of you use this as a day of rest, and some people just kind of catch up on work and kind of do a couple of things that they need to do around the house.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go outside and you put a little something on the grill and all of that. But we don't like to miss Bible study, even if it's on a holiday. And I could have very easily just canceled and said, well, we'll just relax like everybody else. But I believe what we've already shared has helped somebody tonight that's tuning in. And I praise God for each of you. And we thank God for his presence even in the room tonight, because the Bible informs us that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. What is
fly like an eagle, Steve Miller Band.
Okay, I knew Dr. Q would be able to pull
it
out.
Dr. Q.
She got that old school in her, so
yes.
That's a part of one of the stanzas in that song, right?
Mm-hmm, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
Sister Myra said there's rest in God's word.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
Thank
that's
you
good.
For that.
That's real
Minister
good.
Myra.
I know that's
Amen.
Right.
Amen. Thank you.
Well, we're in 2 Chronicles, the 13th chapter, and we'll see a unique transition that's happening here in the kingship of Judah. And also in the kingship of the house of David.
Mm-hmm.
There's a new king in the house.
A new king.
And I think his name is Abijah.
Mm-hmm.
And he really the one who took over after Solomon's son. Mm-hmm. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
And Jeroboam, was it Jeroboam? Rehoboam.
Rehoboam.
Mm-hmm. And so as a result of Rehoboam really kind of dropping the ball, Abijah was the one that God used to fulfill the vision and that he had set. Because this whole transition, when we're looking at all of these transitions that's happening in the kingships, this is really the fourth king of the house of David.
Okay.
And so David, God had promised David all of this, and he said it would come through his lineage as a result of his faithfulness and obedience, even though he didn't build the temple, mm-hmm. his son was the one who was able to get it done. And even after Solomon died, mm-hmm. then his son took
Rehoboam.
Over. Rehoboam took over. And after Rehoboam just kind of, he started tripping real bad. He went off when we spent a couple of chapters talking about that. But he this young man, Abijah, he's really the second king of Judah at this time because the kingdom had been divided.
Right.
And so now we see him in power. And I think Abijah learns the right vision gets the right results.
Hey, I like that.
And so that's what we need to take away. That's one of the takeaways, that the right vision, gets the right results.
Thank you.
Because many times we can get so caught up in doing what we think is right, and it's the wrong vision at the wrong time, and it becomes disastrous for us.
Mm-hmm.
But Abijah was one who was determined to trust God, even though he had saw how Jeroboam had failed. And I think they had also been in conflict with each other.
They had.
Because Jeroboam had tried to ambush him, and he was not able to overcome him. And God honored Abijah mm-hmm. because of his willingness to listen to God. And Jeroboam, as we said, he had kind of went off center and kind of started listening to the wrong people, taking the wrong advice, and not following God's direction. He did, in fact, try to come back to God, but he lost so much in terms of his disobedience. Mm-hmm. And the key thing here is that obedience brings reward mm-hmm. and that the right vision gets the right results.
Amen. Amen. I like that. The right vision gets the right results.
Yes.
That's something, if you don't take anything else away tonight, we can take that away tonight. To carry us until Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. So where you would like me to begin
yes.
reading?
There's only 18 verses here, I believe. Is it more? No, it's about 21 verses.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
21 verses.
13th
chapter of 2 Chronicles.
Yeah, I think it's, 22 verses.
22, okay.
Yes, 22 verses.
All right.
All right, but again, as you talked about King Abijah, is it Abijah? Abijah,
mm-hmm.
Abijah, and his victory for Judah.
Mm-hmm.
So, Abijah, like you said, is reigning in Judah.
Right.
The fourth king.
That's right.
Uh-huh. You said there was David,
mm-hmm.
then there was Solomon.
That's right. Jeroboam.
Rehoboam.
I get these boys mixed up. That's right.
David, then Solomon is David's son.
That's right.
Then Rehoboam is Solomon's son.
That's right.
Now Abijah
mm-hmm.
is the fourth king.
That's right.
Beginning at verse 1, 2 Chronicles, the 13th chapter. In the 18th year of King Jeroboam, Abijah became king over Judah. He reigned 3 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Micaiah, the daughter of Uriel of Geba. And there was war between Abijah and Jeroboam.
Mm-hmm.
Abijah set the battle in order with an army of valiant warriors, 400,000 choice men. Jeroboam also drew up in battle formation against him with 800,000 choice men.
Isn't that something?
Mighty men of valor.
400 versus 800? How many was it?
Yes, 400,000 against 800,000.
Mm-hmm.
So Jeroboam had twice as many.
That's right.
As Abijah had.
Mm-hmm.
Then Abijah stood at Mount Zemaraim, which is the mountains of Ephraim, and said, "Hear me, Jeroboam, and all Israel. Should you not know that the Lord God of Israel gave the dominion of Israel to David forever, to him and his sons, by a covenant of salt?
Mm-hmm.
Yet Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, the servant of Solomon, the son of David, rose up and mm-hmm. rebelled against his Lord."
That's right.
"Then worthless rogues gathered to him and strengthened themselves against Rehoboam, the son of Solomon."
So they were rogues, and that really can translate into that's a kind of a slang that we used to use back in the day. roguish or rogues. Mm-hmm. Didn't we? Did y'all used to say that in Chicago?
Yeah, go rogue means that you're going just the opposite way, mm-hmm. or you're going against someone.
Right, right, mm-hmm. right. Okay. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
When Rehoboam was young.
I want to say Reed.
You can say that. We're on verse number 7. Then worthless rogues gathered to him and strengthened themselves against Rehoboam, mm-hmm. the son of Solomon. When Rehoboam was young and inexperienced and could not withstand them. And now you think to withstand the kingdom of Israel, which is in the hand of the son of David, and you are a great multitude, and with you are the gold calves which Jeroboam made for you as gods. Have you not cast out the priests of the Lord, the sons of Aaron and the Levites, and made for yourselves priests like the peoples of other lands, so that whoever comes to consecrate himself with a young bull and 7 rams may be a priest of things that are not gods?
Wow.
But as for us, the Lord is our God,
we
have not forsaken him. And the priests who minister to the Lord are the sons of Aaron, and the Levites attended to their duties. And they burn to the Lord every morning and every evening burnt sacrifices and sweet incense. They also set the showbread in order on the pure gold table and a lampstand of gold and the lamps to burn every evening. For we keep the command of the Lord our God, but you have forsaken him. I'm at the end of 11. Continue on?
Yes.
Verse number 12. Now look, God himself is with us as our head, and his priests with surrounding trumpets to sound the alarm against you. O children of Israel, do not fight against the Lord the Lord God of your fathers, for you shall not prosper. Verse 13. But Jeroboam caused an ambush to go around behind them. So they were in front of Judah, and the ambush was behind them. And when Judah looked around, to their surprise, the battle line was at both front and rear, and they cried out to the Lord, and the priests sounded the trumpets. Then the men of Judah gave a shout, and as the men of Judah shouted, it happened that God struck Jeroboam and all Israel before Abijah and Judah. And the children of Israel fled before Judah, and God delivered them into their hands.
Mm.
Then Abijah and the people struck themselves with a great slaughter. So 500,000 choice men of Israel fell slain. Thus the children of Israel were subdued at that time. And the children of Judah prevailed because they relied on the Lord God of their fathers.
Mm-hmm.
And Abijah pursued Jeroboam and took cities from him. Bethel with its villages, Jeshana with its villages, and Ephraim with its villages. So Jeroboam did not recover strength again in the days of Abijah. And the Lord struck him, and he died.
He died.
But Abijah grew mighty, married 14 wives,
what?
And begot 22 sons and 16 daughters. What? Now the rest of the acts of Abijah, his ways and his saving and his sayings are written in the annals of the prophet Edu.
Edu. So, Lady Kim, it's interesting how Abijah honored God. And Jeroboam, and I'm keep saying Jeroboam, but it was Jeroboam,
mm-hmm.
how he decided not to listen to the word that was coming, and he refused the order that was coming from God. And so God honored Abijah because they had already been doing all of the things that was required of them in terms of honoring God and holding fast. And he brought back to Jeroboam's remembrance of how the house of David, how God had established the covenant with him. and how important it was for him to continue to abide in that. But he was kind of had a big head in a real sense, and he went off key and went off course in terms of listening to other people and not following godly advice. And we talked about that in the previous chapters. But I think that's a word for us to understand here tonight, that we have to continue to trust God and trust the timing of God, and not just when we get a couple of victories under our belt, feel like we can take it on in ourselves.
Amen.
But Abijah decided that he was going to continue to be obedient to what God required of him, and God honored him because of his obedience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Abijah and you know, his people, they kept God's covenant.
That's right.
They worshiped God in spirit and in truth.
Right.
They did what was required of them. They remembered the covenant.
That's right.
That they had with God, whereas Jeroboam did not. He mm-hmm. allowed he allowed false gods
That's
to
right.
come in.
That's
he
right.
built golden idols.
That's right.
And allowed people to become priests that should not
That's
have
right.
become priests.
That's right.
And do all kind of, you know, strange and weird things. And Abijah reminded him, mm-hmm. don't go to war with us.
That's right.
You know, please, in a way he was saying, don't step
don't
over
do
here,
it.
Bro,
because
we doing what God told us to
right.
do, and you are not. And don't forget the covenant that God made with David that we are still keeping, and you are not. So
That's
don't
right.
even step this
don't
way.
Don't even try.
You got 800,000 folk. We got 400,000 folk. But guess what? God
That's
is strong and mighty.
And even Jeroboam decided to set up an ambush and go all around behind him and all of that. And then when the horn blew, they charged and they ended up fleeing, you know, because Abijah was faithful to God's covenant, and God delivered them into his hands.
Amen.
And
it said 500,000 were slain.
That's right.
Now, he brought 800,000.
Right.
So 500,000 were slain. So we know that when God is in the midst,
mm-hmm.
amen. If God is for us,
who can be against
us?
That's
hey, as you were typing that, I was saying that.
<That's> so-
If God is for us,
that's
who can
right.
be against
and
us?
And sometimes that's just like we can get caught up in what the numbers look like, Lady Kim. And just like with the sermon on yesterday about our eyes can become restrained, you know, because we are looking at it in the natural. But God can do something in the spirit realm that supersedes what you might be seeing in the natural. And so we ought not grow weary in well-doing. And the Bible tells us that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. And so we can't be fearful about what we see in the natural, but we have to depend on God to bring deliverance in the spirit realm. Even though it looks like we might be outnumbered, you know, us plus God equals the majority every time.
Amen.
And so we have to stay with God and not lose sight of the fact that he can bring victory even when it looks like in the natural that we're going to be defeated.
Yes. And I like where it said, I don't remember what verse it was, but that David and his descendants had a covenant with God, a mm-hmm. salt covenant with
that's
God.
That's right, that's right.
And it, back then, a salt covenant meant preserving.
Okay.
You know, salt is used as a preservative.
Right.
And so that salt covenant was a preserving covenant.
That's right.
So Abijah, he reminded Jeroboam of that salt covenant
that's
that
right.
David had. And
I was trying to find it, but I can't.
It might be around maybe 14, huh? Let me see. I can flip back.
But we're in 2 Chronicles, the 13th chapter, for those of you who are just joining us. And Lady Kim has already read those verses. It was 22 verses. And we see how Jeroboam, his life comes to an end, and that Abijah now is the second king of Judah, and he's really the fourth king of the house of David. And he is the one who really made a bold statement in terms of his obedience to God. Did you find it, Lady?
Yes, in the fifth verse.
Okay, what does it say?
It says, "Should you not know that the Lord God of Israel gave the dominion over Israel to David forever, to him and his sons, by a covenant of salt?" So yes, that covenant of salt was with David, with King David.
That's right.
And so that was the preserving or the preserving of God's covenant
with David.
That's right. And so Abijah is saying, don't come against us because we have continued to honor that covenant with God.
So really that says a lot about how we need to be steadfast even in our worship and in our praise and in honoring God and doing things the right way. Because the enemy is of such where he would try to persuade us to go off track and have us looking at things that the world has to offer. That's why Paul had to remind us to be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. You got to stay with God. You got to stick and stay, and you have to continue to trust him even when you can't trace him.
Amen. Dr. Q said something interesting. She said, it's always us plus God, never God plus us.
That's good.
That's good. I like that.
Yeah.
You know, and that lets us know also, you know, that when we are in the will of God, that God is with us. And he will fight our battle for us.
That's right.
So it is us with God.
That's right. That's right.
And never God plus us.
God plus us.
Plus us. It's us plus God. Never God plus us.
So the right vision gets right results.
Yes.
Is that right?
Absolutely.
And
every time.
Abijah was willing to do what was right by God, and he had the right vision, and he got the right results. And so even as we have moved through this 13th chapter tonight, there are so many lessons for us, because the wrong vision at the wrong time is disastrous, and that's what we said earlier. The wrong vision at the right time is a mistake, and the right vision at the wrong time can be a blunder. But the right vision at the right time can be success.
Amen. It can be a blessing.
It can be a blessing.
Yes.
It can be a win.
Yes.
You can win the day.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. So, Lady Kim, any other handles that you want to give us as we prepare to close out? I know we're a little ahead of schedule, but we don't want to keep people away from enjoying the rest of the afternoon. And Minister Myra already explained to us that we can rest in the Lord.
Amen.
And, you know, even on those holidays, you still need to rest in the Lord and abide in his word and gain strength from the word, because somebody might be going through even tonight. And as we talked about on yesterday, how to live through a bad day and keep on winning, you have to get into that word. You got to let that word soak into your being. And then when you see things looking different than what God has promised you, you know that this too shall pass, and that you're more than a conqueror through him that loved you, and greater is he that's within you than he that's within the world.
Yes.
So I would encourage you tonight, I don't know who this word is for, just continue to hold on and be obedient, and I speak an Abijah spirit over you tonight, that you continue to hold fast to the things of God, even when it looks like you're outnumbered. My God.
Amen.
Even when it looks like you're in the minority. But you plus God is always a majority.
Always a majority.
God plus you is always a majority.
Amen.
And so trust God. Trust God. Believe what God said he would do. Honor God and continue to be steadfast in what he has spoken to your spirit and what he's just speaking in terms of how he's going to deliver you. And wait on God and be obedient. And when you're obedient, that means that you have to surrender to God and willingness to do what he has required of you to do.
Amen.
And
amen.
Abide your spirit. Abide your blessing. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hey, hallelujah.
Yes.
And abide your anointing. Yes. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So we thank God tonight for that.
And don't forget why Abijah had that blessing.
That's right.
Or that anointing. It's because he trusted God.
That's right.
He continued to do what God told him to do by keeping that covenant.
That's right.
When we keep covenant with
God,
then God keeps his covenant with us.
He keeps his covenant with us.
Amen.
And it may look like you're outnumbered.
Yes.
But God's got you.
Yes.
God's got you.
And the other thing is, my notes say, don't mess with those that God protects.
Wow.
Don't mess with those that God protects. You know, you God will protect you even when you don't know he's protecting you.
That's it. So that's the lesson for tonight, Lady Kim. And so we praise God for each of you on the call tonight. And we're certainly excited about this time of resting in the Lord. I like that, Sister Myra, and how even on a holiday, when a lot of people want to rest and relax, Lady Kim has been working all day. So, but we praise God for resting in the Word tonight.
Amen.
And a couple of things going on, Lady Kim, this week that we need to be mindful of, and then we'll go ahead and close out with prayer. If there are any prayer requests, then we want to encourage you to go ahead and put those in now. And on next week, we're going to tackle the 14th chapter and continue to move forward.
Okay.
All right. Why you looking at me like that?
You said a couple of things going on as we got to try to remember what the couple of things I know. We have a funeral.
And then we have our Thursday night
Institute for Leadership
Those
Training.
Are two things I was thinking about. Mm-hmm. And, of course, the funeral on Saturday.
Yes.
Okay.
So we do have Institute for Leadership Training that will take place on this Thursday at 6 o'clock. So those of you who are part of that class, we will see you on Thursday. And then on this coming Saturday, our hearts are grieved at the loss of our ATOP member, Brother James Shotwell. We called him Shorty.
That's right.
And the short time he was with Anointed Temple of Praise, he made a great impact on all those that he met.
Absolutely.
He was so accommodating, so helpful, would do whatever Pastor asked him to do.
Absolutely.
Was a great friend to Brother Whitmore. And so, you know, we've experienced a great loss. And, you know, I thought about Shorty and the short time he was there and the impact he had. Man, if we can make an impact,
like
just
that.
Half an impact.
I know, right?
Like that, you know, it would speak volumes,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And so it does not matter when you come in, as long as you come in.
That's right.
Before
that's
you
right.
breathe your last.
That's right.
And do your best.
Mm-hmm.
Then when it's time for you to go, I'm sure you'll hear the words, "Well done, our good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. Come on now, I'll make you ruler over many." And so we will certainly miss Shorty around ATOP. And I remember the last fun time mm-hmm. we had with him was at your birthday celebration.
That's right.
And he was in his all white, and he would
and
always
his
wear his cowboy
on.
Hat and his cowboy boots.
Yeah.
Yes, and so we had a fun time with Brother Shorty then. But he will be missed. That funeral will be at Anointed Temple of Praise on this coming Saturday at 11 o'clock a.m. The family hour or viewing time will be at 10 o'clock a.m. Mm-hmm. So 10 o'clock and then the funeral at 11. So we hope as many can come out and support the family during that time. And then we had several others that had family deaths. I know Sister Vendora Mills lost her uncle. That funeral was last week. Brother Daryl Taylor, he lost his uncle. That funeral was last week. We had Sister Antoinette Martin lost her brother. That funeral is pending right now. And then we had Dr. Cynthia Calhoun, who lost her dear first cousin. And that funeral will be this coming Saturday as well. So we want to lift up those families, ATOP families, and the loss of their loved ones, of their family members.
Okay. All right. Anything else we need to be aware of?
Early voting is coming up real soon. Next week, the early 15th. Voting starts.
Starts on the 15th.
So please cast your vote during early voting. We know that our foreparents fought, bled, died, so that we can have the right to vote. And so
this the mayoral election.
The city of Memphis. So
right.
Make sure you go out and vote. And we'll stop. I think what's the hold right there? I think all the other ones will be good for next week.
Okay. All right. Well, will you close us then, Lady Kim, with a word of prayer as we prepare to close out tonight?
Amen. Precious Jesus, we thank you tonight. We bless you and we honor you, for you alone, God, are worthy to be praised. We thank you for this time that we've had to reflect on your word and your covenant, oh God, and that we continue to be covenant-keeping people, and that as we continue to keep your covenants and live by your standards and your statutes and your word, oh God, you promised that you would keep us and take care of us. We love you and we thank you, oh God, for all that you've done in our lives. We ask that you would continue to watch over and keep us until we meet again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen and praise God.
Amen.
All right. Well, y'all go ahead and enjoy the rest of your evening. And don't forget, work tomorrow now for those of you who are not retired. Is that right? All right. So you be encouraged. Until next time, be blessed.
Bye, everybody.